with the Churva and Tiferet Yisrael synagogues destroyed and the Ashkenazim needing a place to pray, their Sephardic brethren gave them one of the four sanctuaries in the complex for Ashkenazi use. This synagogue was known by the Sephardim as the Beit Knesset of Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the Prophet. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 238, The Synagogues of a United City. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Through the second half of the 19th century and the first half of the 20th, there were two synagogues that dominated the skyline of the Old City and which were the most significant institutions in all of Jerusalem for its Ashkenazic Jews. The first was the Churva with its magnificent dome, a sanctuary that has appeared in our episodes before, named Churva, ruin, because it was built on the ruins of a previously destroyed synagogue. Pua Steiner, who grew up in the Jewish quarter in the 1940s and who wrote a memoir for young adults about her childhood, recalled in her book that, quote, "I never tired of seeing the beautiful Churva," end quote, adding that even in the midst of all the difficulties and even in the midst of the limitations placed upon Jewish worship in Jerusalem, at the Western Wall and elsewhere, quote, "the Churva was ours alone," end quote. And then there was the Hasidic synagogue Tiferet Yisrael, with its own exquisite dome, whose construction was overseen in the 19th century by Rabbi Nissim Beck, who famously fundraised when the sanctuary had been almost completed, but whose roof was unfinished. Aaron Horovitz, in his book Jerusalem Footsteps Through Time, gives us the anecdote describing Nissim Beck giving a tour of Jewish Jerusalem to the visiting emperor Franz Josef. Quote, "By coincidence, they came upon the incomplete synagogue. 'Who designed this synagogue?' asked Franz Josef of Reb Nissim. 'I did, Your Majesty,' answered Reb Nissim. 'And whereas Herr Beck studied architecture at the private college in his home, Your Majesty, and has Herr Beck not learned in his private college that a synagogue ought to have a roof?' 'Yes,' replied Reb Nissim, 'but this synagogue has removed its hat in honor of His Majesty.' 'If so,' the Kaiser replied, smiling, 'let us hope the hat will soon be replaced.' The emperor backed up this hope with a gift of 1,000 francs." End quote. As Israel's War of Independence raged in 1948, the besieged and starving defenders of Jerusalem's Jewish quarter fell to the Jordanian legion. As we have described, in triumph, the Jordanians dynamited the Churva and reduced it to rubble. The Churva was a Churva, a ruin once more. The same act of horrific desecration was done to the Tiferet Yisrael synagogue, whose dome, as Aaron Horovitz describes, served as a central defensive point. Horovitz gives us the telegram that was sent by the remaining defenders in Jerusalem right before the Jewish quarter surrendered. Quote, 21-5-48, Nissim Beck was blown up. The enemy is pushing from all sides. Reinforcements have not arrived. Place the heavy mortars. Shell immediately and from every direction." End quote. After the expulsion of the Jews from the Jewish quarter, the leader of the Jordanian legion proudly proclaimed that, quote, "for the first time in 1,000 years, not a single Jew remains in the Jewish quarter. Not a single building remains intact. This makes the Jews' return here impossible." End quote. As I've described in commentary, gone was Pua Steiner's spiritual haven, and the domes that dominated the Jewish quarter were gone as well. In violation of the armistice signed by Jordan, no Jew was allowed to pray in the Old City for the next many years. This means that for the Jews to regain ancient Jerusalem was also to come face to face with the desecration of what were essentially beloved friends, but also in the face of this destruction, to express faith in the future of Jerusalem. Amidst Rabbi Shlomo Goren's rejoicing on June 7th in ancient Jerusalem, he also experienced one moment of severe sadness. This came not at the Kotel, but during his visit to the ruins of the synagogues of the Jewish quarter. He writes, quote, "I visited most of the destroyed synagogues in the Old City and cried like a small child. I had fond memories of the Churva synagogue of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid," end quote. A similar reaction was expressed by Pua Steiner, who soon after the Six-Day War came with her husband and so many other Jews to a liberated Jerusalem. There, as we have mentioned, with her husband Chaim, she visited the site of her beloved sanctuary. Initially, she did not realize where she was because of the destruction that occurred. Steiner writes, quote, "We are inside the Churva," Chaim announced, beaming with joy. "But I collapsed on the stairway, too stunned to speak. I looked all around me, but could find no magnificent synagogue of my childhood." And Steiner adds, "I gazed at the stump of the shattered bima, the marble bima, and hid my face in my hands. This, then, was indeed the Churva. This was all that was left of that grand synagogue. The magnificent holy ark, the decorated walls, the stained glass windows, the star-shaped dome, the chandeliers, all in ruins," end quote. There in a redeemed, joyous Jerusalem, Steiner sat and wept, wept for her childhood sanctuary, for the childhood robbed that would not return, for the haven that had been denied to her as she grew into adulthood. She writes, quote, "Slowly I stood up and went over to kiss the marble stones of the Bima. Then we made our way towards the Kotel," end quote. There at the Western Wall, she prayed for the rebuilding of her beloved Churva and for the other ruins of Jerusalem, for the rebuilding of the synagogues of Jerusalem. In this, Pua Steiner's prayers have been answered, but it took time. If you visited the Old City in the past many decades, you would have seen a single arch created in order to mark the site of the Churva. In the edition of Aaron Horowitz's book that I have, published before the Churva was rebuilt, he writes that, quote, "After the Six-Day War, plans were drawn up for the reconstruction of the Churva. To this day, there are differences of opinion as to how it should look, a replica of the old structure or a modern design to serve the public. So much time has passed with no progress that disgruntled quarter residents believe city planners prefer the Churva to remain a picturesque ruin instead of a living synagogue," end quote. Meanwhile, in the midst of this disappointment over the decades, there are other returns to synagogues that are wonderful. The Sephardim returned to the Yochanan ben Zakkai sanctuary and to the other synagogues in the Sephardic synagogue complex. And, as I have been informed, with the Churva and Tiferet Yisrael synagogues destroyed and the Ashkenazim needing a place to pray, their Sephardic brethren gave them one of the four sanctuaries in the complex for Ashkenazi use. This synagogue was known by the Sephardim as the Beit Knesset of Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the Prophet. For once, as I believe I have mentioned before, only nine were in the sanctuary for a quorum on Yom Kippur, and suddenly a mysterious man appeared and completed the count of 10 for what is known as a minyan, there until after Yom Kippur services when he was nowhere to be found. From that moment on, the synagogue was named for Elijah the Prophet in the belief that it had been he who had visited, and the chair on which the man had sat was reverently preserved. It is striking, I believe, that this synagogue was later shared by Jews with their fellow Jews. The prayer service through a minyan, as Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik has argued, is meant to embody a communal link to Jews across space and time. And suddenly, in the place where Elijah was believed to have come across space and time to save the minyan, room was made by Sephardic Jews for a minyan for their Ashkenazic brethren. The chair on which Elijah was supposed to have sat, preserved for many years, was lost in the Jordanian conquest of 1948. But the spirit of Elijah the prophet and the spirit of helping Jews in need pray as a community, that spirit of unity remains. And finally, Pua Steiner's prayer was fulfilled. The Churva Synagogue has been recently rebuilt. Its dome gleams above the Jewish quarter, and its interior is again one of the aesthetic wonders of the Jewish world. Again, the skyline of the Jewish quarter proclaims Jerusalem's Jewishness. The synagogue is still known as Churva, ruin, and now it lies on the site of a synagogue twice destroyed, two desecrations, two destructions. And this means that the Churva as it stands today is an embodiment of the miraculous resurrection of the Jewish people against all attempts by its enemies to destroy it. And now, there is more wonderful news. This past week, the Jerusalem Post featured the headline, quote, "Jerusalem's historic Tiferet Israel Synagogue to reopen after 75 years. With the article continuing, "Brian Scher, 79, grew up in New Jersey with one foot in and an eye on the holy city of Jerusalem. His great-great-great-grandfather, Rabbi Nissan Beck, helped fund and found the Tiferet Israel Synagogue in the 1800s. This synagogue once served as the crown jewel of Jerusalem until it was captured by the Jordanian Arab Legion in the 1948 War of Independence and left for rubble." End quote. The article describes how Scher, a descendant of the creator of the synagogue, led an effort for the sanctuary to be rebuilt, looking as it once did. We are told further in the article that, quote, "Scher first visited the Tiferet Israel Synagogue in 1981 with his cousin. It was a pit in the ground filled with garbage," Scher recalls. "The main entrance was in shambles. The walls were crumbled. And you would look down, story after story, into the ground. But when he closed his eyes, he said he could imagine its grandeur, based on the tales his grandmother used to tell him. His grandmother Mindel, quote, was a strong woman. She was the matriarch of the family. She was born in these dirt flats in the old city. So I grew up knowing we were from Jerusalem. I imagine my great-great-great-grandfather standing here and looking at the synagogue. He did that. I am doing it." End quote. This new synagogue, the article tells us, featuring a dome as of old, will allow people to look out at all of Jerusalem. I myself look forward to this opportunity. And as I look out, I will also see in my mind's eye Jerusalem's defenders in 1948, who once fought atop the dome. I will see as well Jews that defended Jerusalem in the years before. I will think of all those Jews, those that defended Jerusalem, and I will pray that in the Jewish return, all Jews that return to Tiferet Israel will seek to make their love our own. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together next week. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.